Hello, and welcome to Reading the Library Book. This is a podcast in which I read the library book chapter by chapter. And then you let me know your thoughts, my listeners, my lovely people. So this is going to be chapter 10. And stay tuned after chapter 10. I'm going to play you some clips from some lovely recordings that I have received from some listeners. So we're starting to get a few things trickling in. So I'm delighted to share some of those things with you at the end of the chapter, because I know you're anxious to listen to chapter 10. So here it is, chapter 10. We stepped out of the elevator and looked around. It was dark, so it was hard to see, but it looked as though there were little reading lamps next to leather armchairs. A light above us flickered on, which startled us. When we walked forward, another light came on. The new lights allowed us to see a giant oval table in the middle of the room, with a stand all the way around it. And there were benches all around the table, too. As another light came on, I could see that the edge of the table wasn't a table at all, but piano keys. There were piano keys all around the table. This was a giant oval-shaped piano. And in front of each bench on the wooden slanted ledges were books of music.
"Welcome to the music library," said Eamon. "If the librarian, Johanna Juditha, is here, things can't be so bad. I think her office is this way."
Eamon led us ahead. We passed the giant piano and walked toward a wide set of double doors that had music written on them. It looked like it could be a whole piece from the top of the doors to the bottom. When we got up close, I could see that the measures and the notes and the time signatures were raised. It looked like the music was made of metal and attached to the wooden door. I wished I could read music a little better. Then I'd know what it sounded like. Eamon opened the doors, and we could hear a strange sound. It had a sort of gulping, wailing quality. Like a loon, maybe? We followed it and ended up at the door of an office where warm lamplight illuminated a woman with her head and arms on her desk, sobbing. Eamon looked at me and frowned, then mouthed, "Johanna Juditha," before backing up into the hallway and saying very loudly, "Yes, Leandra, this music library is the best in Akita, but be quiet, for heaven's sake, people might be trying to practice." The crying stopped, and when we came back to her office, the librarian had her head up and was doing her best to appear as if she hadn't been crying her eyes out a moment before. When she saw Eamon, she smiled, stood, and gave him a big hug, saying his name with relief. He introduced us, and when all the niceties were accomplished, he patted her arm and asked her what was troubling her. She gulped the air and got as far as "nothing" before she started crying again.
"Is it the key?" asked Eamon nervously.
"No, no," she said. "The key is secure, but they're closing the music library."
"Who is?"
"The board."
"What?"
Eamon said with surprise. "That's impossible. They sent me a notice last week and I tried to contest it, but I got the final notification today. I'm to pack up the books, the scores, and all the recordings and be gone by the end of the week."
"The board is meant to support libraries, not evict them," said Eamon with force. "Where are you supposed to go? Where are the books supposed to go?"
This started Johanna Juditha crying again and sobbing. "I don't know. I don't have the slightest idea what I'm supposed to do."
"Paper and binding," Eamon exclaimed, just as if he were cursing. "Paper and binding," he said again. "Well, I can take a bit of your collection, and when I find the other wandering librarians, we can spread it out amongst us. The books will not be lost, Johanna Juditha, and we will find a place for you too."
Johanna Juditha had continued crying, and then suddenly stopped and looked at Eamon.
Did you say when you find the other wandering librarians?
I did. They have disappeared. And this young lady's entire library disappeared also, along with its inhabitants. Awful things seem to be happening to everyone, it would seem. That is why we came. I was worried about the Omphalos of Omphalos. We came to see that your key was safe, and the Omphalos was unbreached.
What? Of course! Of course! Why should... I'm sure it's fine. We can see from the bay windows back there.
We followed Johanna Juditha as she briskly made her way to some large windows which stood beside some shelves with lots of different kinds of recordings on them. Reels, cassettes, and records. We looked out the window at the center plaza of the Omphalos of the Omphalos, which Eamon pointed out to me. The center was a small funny-shaped space that looked like a spiral-shaped innie belly button. It was covered in glass, and below it was a spiraling walkway.
Looks clear, said Johanna Juditha,
and Eamon explained to me how the glass would change color and transparency if anyone besides the 5 dedicated key librarians tried to get in. Then Johanna Juditha gasped, and we looked where she was looking. There was a large pyramid-shaped glass building with Library of the Eye engraved across the top. In front of it, a pale blue van was parked, with withdrawn written on it in red letters. The back doors were open, and a man in a tweed jacket was being pushed into it by 2 men in pale blue uniforms. 2 other men were hauling boxes of books towards the van behind them.
No, 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 said Johanna Juditha. They can't take Bertram. This is... I knew they wanted to close his library just like mine. He refused, and this is how they've responded.
Where are they taking him? I asked.
He's been withdrawn from the library, said Johanna Juditha.
They're withdrawing him from the entire collection of Akita.
Is it like prison?
It's worse. It's a place where they shred books, turn them into pulp.
And what do they do to people?
I don't know. But no one has ever returned from withdrawal, so I fear the worst. Eamon, we have to go. Quickly. I'm going with you. Do you have a plan?
I do not, as yet, have a plan. My first step was to come here to see you, said Eamon. So far, I am traveling where it seems safe to travel,
steering clear of any unknown books wrapped up in burlap and twine, and hoping to discover all that has been lost.
Did you say books wrapped up in burlap and twine? Asked Johanna Juditha.
I did.
Like that? She said, pointing to a package on a wooden chair behind her. I hadn't had the time to open it yet.
Thank goodness you didn't, or you'd have disappeared too. Let's bring it with us. It's safer in our hands than left for someone to stumble upon. And we can, for the moment, rescue your rarest books. I can keep those safe, at least.
How many do you have room for?
Eamon looked at the camel and said, 12. Johanna Juditha inhaled sharply.
But we will come back for the rest. Do not worry, said Eamon.
Johanna Juditha nodded and then hurried away.
Eamon began unstrapping various packs on the camel's back and moving books around, clearing space for the additional ones.
He took out several books from his shelves and piled them on the desk. Johanna Juditha returned with a stack of scores, many of them looking hundreds of years old. Some of them were closed up in plastic bags. Eamon took them and put them on the camel's shelves.
Once the scores were secure, Eamon asked her to lead us out of the library. We'll have to go out the front. They may be after me too, Johanna Juditha said, and led us down the grand hallway, which had sculptures of people's heads on columns. I assumed they were composers. I recognized one from a cartoon. There were great big paintings, too, bigger than me. There was one of a man playing the violin in a suit, one of a woman in a long silky green dress playing a cello, a drummer, a xylophonist, a trumpeter, and a few instruments I didn't recognize.
At the end of the hallway was another door with music on it. Johanna Juditha suddenly sang something loudly, and the doors opened onto a landing lit with a chandelier. We stood above a black and white tiled lobby in a grand staircase before us. The marble staircase sloped down in two directions, and it was covered in red carpet. The banisters were a sleek carved wood, like mahogany. Johanna Juditha went down the stairs, but Eamon stopped suddenly at the top. The camel wasn't going anywhere. Eamon tugged at the camel's reins, but there was nothing doing. Eamon looked at Johanna Juditha apologetically. Eamon said to the camel, "Tabus, my beloved monster of books, I know you do not like stairs. I know. But this is the way out." Johanna Juditha looked back at them.
"The library won't go down the library stairs," I said to Johanna Juditha.
"Is there another way out?" asked Eamon.
"The only way out is the service elevator at the back, which will take us right back to the withdrawal van."
Eamon considered.
"The library may be persuadable. It is worth a try. Take this book."
He reached into a sack and removed a bright orange book with a slick plastic library cover. It didn't look like a very special book to me, just a regular library book. He handed it to me and whispered to me to start reading it to the camel, and then walk down the stairs a bit. I just needed to keep reading until I reached the bottom.
"Normally," he said, "I do not recommend walking and reading, especially downstairs, but these are extenuating circumstances."
So I began to read aloud to the camel, with Johanna Juditha spotting me to make sure I didn't tumble down the stairs. As I went, Tabus just extended his neck. On the next page, I went several steps below and didn't raise my voice, and the camel leaned down even further. When I went down another couple of steps, Tabus stamped his feet and looked at Eamon in frustration. Eamon simply walked down a few steps and gestured for me to keep reading. I read, and the camel's neck stretched longer than I thought would be possible. Eamon gave me a look that seemed to suggest I go on a little bit further. I did, and the camel made a sound of frustration with his lips. I walked down another step, and another, and still the camel didn't move. Tabus turned his head to the side, trying harder to hear me read the story, but clearly only understanding a word or two. So Johanna Juditha and I walked all the way down to the bottom of the stairs, and when we got there, I started reading again, very loudly. Tabus shook his head back and forth, shaking his shoulders a bit as well. Eamon stood patiently, nodding and watching me read. Finally, just as I was about to finish the first chapter, the camel suddenly backed up, pulling his head from Eamon's hand, and then catapulted past him down the stairs to join us at the bottom. Tabus arrived, breathless, to stand behind me, and I read on until we came to the end of the chapter, at which point Eamon took the book and put it back on the shelf. He patted Tabus and promised him we'd finish reading later. We were ready to go on. There were grand doors at the end of the lobby, big enough for a carriage to get through if it wanted. They, too, were covered in measures of music. Johanna Juditha sang a different tune, and they swung open, revealing a plaza. We stepped outside, all of us breathing with relief, taking in the crisp air of the outdoors. Just as we began to make our way across the plaza toward a copse of trees, a car sped around the circular drive and stopped in front of the entrance to a building on our right. Johanna Juditha froze. And that was chapter 10. Thank you for listening to chapter 10. And if you have thoughts, questions, wonderings, responses, send them to me. Places to do that are leandralibrary@gmail.com, or you can leave me a message at Google Voice at 646-847-8758. And if you have ideas about good ways to pass on stuff, please do let me know.
This project is evolving as it goes. So, you know, any way you feel like it's easy for you to share stuff with me, tell me. I think some folks are like using voice memo on their phones to just record conversations, or I know if you are on the Anchor app, there's a way to just to record in within the app, but I'm pretty sure almost no one has the Anchor app. So that's probably not a great solution. But yeah, whatever is easy. And what I'm going to play for you now is a little clip, several clips, actually. I'm going to give you the edited version of a recording that was sent to me of a family in California who have just finished. First, you'll hear them responding to the first chapter, and then there are some responses to the second and third as well. So these are just this little sound clips of this family kind of responding to what they heard. So I got an immense kick out of this, and I hope that you will too. And I thank them so much for sending it along to me. It thrilled me beyond measure to get to be a witness to this conversation. And I would just encourage any of the rest of you to also record these kinds of conversations and share them with me. And you can let me know, you know, if you don't want me to share bits of it, or you don't want me to share any of it, or you set the limits in terms of how I share these things with other people. But it's delightful to me so much to hear. So if you have conversations to document in some way, I'd love to be a little fly on that wall. So here are these fantastic people. And you'll hear chapter 11 next time. Okay, enjoy this.
What about the kids out back?
Oh, they weren't nice. They were so not nice.
They were not nice to her at all, huh?
Nope. Not that nice.
Not that nice. Have you ever been in a situation where you felt a little anxious like she felt?
Yeah.
Yeah? That felt familiar to you? What do you think's going to happen in the next chapter?
They're going to go home.
They're going to go home?
I actually don't know.
Do you think she'll tell her dad about those friends being mean?
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. Maybe.
Maybe.
Yes. Yes.
Do you think she'll offer her daddy some cherries?
Yes. That might be in order.
That might be in order.
I'm surprised that the dad wasn't like, "What are you doing down here?"
Oh, that surprised you.
Uh-huh.
Maybe he knew she'd be there.
Yeah.
Interesting. That sets up an interesting relationship.
Yeah.
Do you think he trusts her?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I love you.
I love you. We will read chapter 2 tomorrow. Hi. How exciting.
Bye.
Hello, Emily.
Hi.
So what are you saying, Tegan? Say that again.
I really want to read chapter 4. Because I think it is like really weird that the library has like disappeared. That's like a serious like weirdo. Like, that should obviously be in Scooby-Doo. And I like that mystery perch, like when she like read the mystery books and she was like, okay, the step one is okay, that. I was actually scared that the library, like, it's weird how like all the books have disappeared.
It is.
All the humans have disappeared. The whole world is different. The whole library is different. Super weird and scary.
But how cool that she felt like she knew her dad was okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Mm. What do you think the password is?
Password.
Red leaf. What did the book say?
Red leaf. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's follow the red leaf line. Or
Emily,
maybe look in a book and see if it updated or something.
Or maybe it was like a famous book title. Oh, and now they're wrestling. What did you think about the fact that the book was in her hiding place?
That was kind of like unusual.
Do you think whoever left it for her knew she would find it?
Yeah. Yeah, probably.
Who do you think left it?
Her dad.
Maybe her dad. Wait, maybe a mystery person.
Maybe a magic man.
I wonder if anybody else knows about that hiding place. That would be interesting to learn.
Yeah, it would.
Okay, that's chapter 2 and 3 responses, Emily. We are having so much fun with this.